Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it for hour number two on the early line. It's Joe Ranieri. It's Donnie Right Side. It's January 2nd, kicking off the new year in style, and also talking about some fun topics here in the NFL just to come up. By the way, Joe, I mean, how was the new year for you? Did you stay up late? Did you relax? Did you have some cocktails? Did you hang out at clubs? Or did you get a good night's sleep like myself?
Yeah, no, I don't know what that is. We were on air with our good friend Mike Blewett there in game live for the later games there on Sunday. Then hung the headphones up and took off out on the water for some fireworks and bringing in the new year, because it's still 50 to 55 degrees here at 9:90, so a little cold. But I bundled up through the, you know, the hooded parka on, the mittens, and a scarf, and I trucked out to the ocean to watch some fireworks there, and nearly froze to death at 58 degrees.
Yeah, and if you see me, like, you know, looking all over the TV screen right now, I'm having multiple monitor fun here in the new year as we try to set up and just take a look at some of the topics we're talking about. So fantastic stuff overall. But let's get to some interesting topics across the way. Mike Tomlin, he doesn't lose. Or should I say, he doesn't have losing seasons. Not going to have another losing season this year. Why? Because the Pittsburgh Steelers are winning, including winning in Seattle, and now saying, you know what? We're going to ride the really hot hand of Mason Rudolph as opposed to Kenny Pickett, who is apparently cleared coming back from his tightrope surgery on his ankle. Do we agree with the decision just to roll with Mason Rudolph or give it back to Kenny Pickett this weekend against those Ravens?
It's kind of hard, right? I mean, how do you explain to that locker room that the guy that has really seemed to make it click for them offensively, and not, listen, they haven't asked Rudolph to do a whole lot except just don't shoot us in the foot, give us a chance to win, and that's exactly what he's done. So if you're taking the temperature of that locker room and you're feeling the guys in there have a comfort level and feel like if it ain't broke, let's not fix it, there is no way you can bring Pickett back, who hasn't played in, what, a month? I don't blame Tomlin for sticking to what has eventually got him to this point, but he's got to win again. Otherwise, it's all for naught.
You're watching and listening live to the Early Line on a Tuesday, January 2nd edition, right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. It's Joe, it's Donnie here talking some NFL football, which does include those Pittsburgh Steelers, which do need some help to get into the playoffs. We're going to have a nice little segment here of what some of these teams needing had down the stretch, but apparently it looks like they need the Buffalo Bills to lose a game and they need to beat the Baltimore Ravens. But at the same time, you might say to yourself, what? Did you watch the Baltimore Ravens absolutely crush the Miami Dolphins? They might be the best team in football. Steelers aren't winning this football game. Sometimes it's not who you play, Joe, but when you play them. The Baltimore Ravens showing up for Week 18 against their rivals. The question is going to be, are you running Lamar Jackson, the MVP of 2023, the number one overall seed, with any risk of injury in a game that means nothing for you? So I'm going to put you into the head here of John Harbaugh. What are you doing with Lamar Jackson and your starters this weekend for the Baltimore Ravens?
Well, we've seen this with him before, though, in the past, right? We're talking about a possibility if you sit them in this game, so, and then you get the bye. So we're talking about 2 weeks of no football for some guys. I don't know that Harbaugh is going to risk that. At least there have been points in the past where for heading into the playoffs, but really just missing the last game because the next game you knew you were playing, the playoffs mattered most. This is a 2-week reprieve if he sits everybody. I think he'll sit those that are injury prone right now that could use the extra rest. But I think if you're capable of going as a starter with the Ravens, I think Harbaugh rolls you out there. This is not going to be a scout team that they're going to go up against Pittsburgh with. There's going to be some combination, maybe not the full game, but there's going to be some combination of Lamar and other people in that lineup here for this game.
And the one good thing about this, too, is you take a look at for the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah, they clinched everything here. But in the NFL, this isn't Florida State showing up to the Orange Bowl and going like, well, our whole team's going to opt out. Oh, good. We still have 100 players on our roster, so there's 60 other kids that would like to play in this game. In the NFL, it's easy to say rest your starters. You can't rest every starter because you only have 53 active on Sundays. So if you want to rest your two left tackles, Lamar Jackson, maybe Odell Beckham Jr., you know, Gus Edwards in the backfield, a couple of your defensive ends, yeah, there's still going to be at least 50% starters on the field in a rivalry football game that are earning paychecks here and not getting their first reps as a true freshman in college here. That's something you certainly want to keep an eye on. So if you are Lamar Jackson looking at this game, saying to yourself, yeah, I have everything wrapped up, you're always wanting to play, maybe get a series or two just to stay sharp, because the one thing we do know is they're not going to be playing the following week in the wild card round. They do have that bye. So it's that rest versus rust anecdote that we always look at to say, all right, you're the best team. Yes, health is probably the most important thing, but you don't want to get yourself out of the routines that you're comfortable with, because human mentality for us, Joe, is, hey, you know what, going into the last week of the season, I know I'm not playing. Hey, you know what? Maybe I hit the club a little bit. Maybe I don't have to study for this week. Maybe I get out of my routine. Maybe I don't hit a leg day on Thursday as hard as I usually would. That's always something to keep an eye on. But the one thing we do know, the Baltimore Ravens are really good and just might be the best team in football. Looking at the line this weekend, it is indicative of what we're thinking for the Baltimore Ravens not playing a lot of starters. Why? The Pittsburgh Steelers here, Joe, -4 point favorites in this game over the Baltimore Ravens and a total of 36.5. I agree with that. One team absolutely needs to win. The other team just needs to stay healthy here. Do you agree with the Steelers, a -4 point favorite?
Listen, I think that's a little much. It is still a rivalry game, you know, and quite honestly, there's limitations, I think, to what Pittsburgh is going to be able to do. I don't see the Ravens in any way, shape, or form making life easy for Pittsburgh, even the backups, if they sit some of the starters. So I think, like always, in January here, Donnie, Steelers-Ravens has always been a war, no matter who's playing it. I think it's going to be a war no matter who. I think 4.5 expecting Pittsburgh. And the in order for that to happen, let me ask you this. You're expecting the Ravens to lay down, no? Is that basically what this line is telling us, that the Ravens are just not going to show up and they'll have no problem watching the Steelers run them over?
That's what the line, and again, I love the point you're bringing up, because if there's one team in football that when the scoreboard is counting points and time, it's the Baltimore Ravens. You go back weeks 2-3 in the preseason, they don't care. They want to win every single football game, which always makes it interesting. And also keep in mind in this, you get that little feather in the cap, you go, you know what? Some of our backups are going to play, sure. Backup quarterback, yep, backup wide receivers. You want to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers and knock them out of the playoffs with a 50% roster. They're going to take some pride in that. And they're at home in front of their home teams or home fans here. So that should certainly make some sense and find out. By the way, quick on this one. The Miami Dolphins, like insult with injury, right? Sometimes you take a look at that. They get hammered in Baltimore. They lose Chubb for the rest of the year with an ACL, which quite frankly means probably next year as well. And also, Tua Tagovailoa gets banged up as well. Tough scene where you look for a team that probably thought they were going to be the number one overall seed, winding up as the fifth seed. What happened here? We're going to talk some golf next. Go anywhere. It's the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it live. Hour number two officially underway, and it's time to have some fun today. Why? Yeah, we talked a lot of action already on the college football gridiron, setting you up for next week's Monster Championship game, as well as the NFL. We got more previews on the way, but the weather here in the Northeast is freezing cold, but I don't think it's so cold there out in Hawaii. Let's welcome in Keith Stewart, our resident PGA expert here into the new year. The golf season, Keith, has begun.
Donnie, you know what? It's the start of a 35-week stretch, FedEx Cup. We finally got it figured out. I think, at least for this year, we're going to go right from now to Labor Day. We'll figure it all out. There's no wraparound, no confusion. Everybody's where they need to be, out at Kapalua, ready for a birdie fest.
Let's take a look at this week's action. But before we actually get there, because it's a fantastic field that we're setting up, we'll get all those parameters. But let's talk about the close to 2023, Keith, from your perspective. You had some defections there to the LIV Golf Tour. What are the prospects for the PGA Tour and the LIV Golf Tour heading into 2024? Some of the big notes that we can take a look at this year.
Well, the big news while golf was shut down was the last week that the framework was supposed to be basically set in stone, or they gave themselves a deadline. Everybody remembers back at June 6th when the PIF and the PGA Tour announced that they were going to form some sort of an arrangement or framework, an agreement. They set themselves a deadline for 12/31. Well, that date has come and gone. They're now looking towards, you know, maybe March, hopefully by the Masters, to get this thing all put together. It's not going to change anything that we do in 2024, even if they had reached that agreement on 12/31. They weren't going to change anything. The schedule was set in stone. What we have in front of us, 35 weeks, 8 signature events. That's those $20 million purses. A couple playoff weeks. We have the Olympics this year. And, of course, those 4 major championships. And the fact that we haven't reached some sort of agreement between the PIF, LIV, and, of course, the PGA Tour means those 4 weeks are going to be absolutely off the charts.
How does it work, too? Because you mentioned Birdie Fest. This tournament has, you better go low. Whoever the winner is going to go low here at this tournament. But now the PGA talking about, obviously, bigger purses, shorter fields, which means that the top half of the board, the favorites, are really short. How are we approaching this tournament and tournaments moving forward when, you know, the Scotty Scheffels of the world are going to be 5-1, 6-1 in every tournament? It's almost unbettable with the top of the board, isn't it?
Well, you know, you go back a month to the Hero World Championship, you know, where you have guys coming in at 5-1 and it's a limited field of 20 guys. Yes, these are some champagne problems that we have in betting golf, for sure. You know, luckily, no Rory this week, but we do have Victor. And of course, we do have Scotty coming in at around 6-1, Victor 9-1. Neither one of which I want to bet this week, but there are other things you could do in the prop market to kind of compound your interests, Joe, you know? So if you take Scotty at, let's say, 6-1, but you also take him to be low American and he's 5-1 at that, 4-1 at that, you know what? You could get yourself a nice little payday, maybe around 10-1 if you want to go the favorite route. For me, I'm going to try to find value in that 20 range. And I know that it's there in this marketplace. Maybe because it's a little bit of a limited field, we might have to go into the teens. But in those 20s and low 30s, there's some players that can win this tournament.
Fantastic. And by the way, Keith, if we take a look at this tournament here, because again, the warm weather, it's almost like the kickoff to the 2024 season. Can't start any better than saying, hey, guys, why don't you gather in Hawaii? Let's have some fun. Can you tell us a little bit of how this course sets up and maybe some of the golfers that can take advantage of the setup on this golf course?
I'll tell you what, this is a really, really fun start to the year, not just for the players, but for the viewers. The East Coast, we're going to get it in prime time. We're 6 hours ahead. We're going to get it after your day is over, and you're going to see a par 73, which is a unique scorecard, 11 par fours, 3 par threes, and 4 par fives, tons and tons of birdies all over this place. It says that it's the third longest course at 7,500 plus, but it's not going to play that long. Elevation changes. You go from the second green up to the 17th tee box is almost a change of 400 feet in elevation, even though this is right there on the north coast of Maui. It's really a fun golf course, wide open fairways. All of them have collection areas with these elevation changes. The terrain kind of filters the drives, whether you're a medium length player or a long player. So it really becomes an approach fest. 9 of the holes, you're going to see some really, really long approach shots. 4 of those are those par fives, trying to hit them in 2. And then the other 9 holes or 8 holes or so, you're going to see very much a wedge fest. And that's why these guys, I mean, John Rahm, he was the runner-up 2 years ago. He had 33 birdies in 4 rounds. Last year, he came back and won on Sunday over Colin Morikawa. He had 30 more birdies. So I don't think anyone in this field's missing him going to live, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, we'll see how this works, though. It should be interesting. There are going to be some names missing in this year's fields. But talk to me about some of – it's so hard this time of year, Keith, isn't it, to decide – All right, who's in better form, right? Who's been on the practice tee? Who's been on the practice greens? Who's not? So when you look at this, is it strictly course history with here? And if that's the case, who are we looking at with course history and greens and styles that we should be focusing in on here?
Well, there's no doubt the favorite of the tournament, Scottie Scheffler, is going to be the one to beat. He showed up in Hero. He hadn't played since the Ryder Cup. And, of course, he won. The scary thing is that all throughout 2023, everyone's talking about Scheffler right there at 550 that he couldn't putt, right? He can't putt. Well, guess what? Last year, this was his best putting tournament of the year. The second best was Scottsdale, and he won there. So Scheffler's played here twice. He's strong. I'm going to go a little further down the board. I love Colin here. I think he's got a little bit of a revenge factor with this golf course. He had a 6-stroke lead going into the final round last year. He's right there in the low teens. You look at his last four starts here, 7th, 7th, 5th, and then the runner-up last year. It perfectly suits what I was talking about earlier, and that's the approach game. If there's one guy that can compete with Scheffler with the irons, that's Morikawa from long range and from short range, one of the best wedge players in the world. Hovland, the other favorite right there at the top of the board, has not had great success here. He's got a couple finishes in the 30s, and remember, this was a limited field event, even more so than this year. This year we have 59 players. Normally there's about 35 players, and he's in the 30s, right? 38 of the top 50 in the official world golf ranking are here, and that's why you're seeing so many low numbers. You look at the last 10 years, the average odds of the pre-tournament winner is about 12-1, 13-1, and we only have one winner over 20-1, and that was Harris English a couple years ago at 33-1. So you got to kind of sit in this 14-30 range. We got to find the guys that can actually win and play this place.
Taking a look here, Keith, at the options here. Any prop bets that you like, or certainly one of the more fun prop bets that we always take a look at? Who could possibly be the leader after round one? How are you approaching this tournament? What are some of the wagers that you're looking at here?
Well, when it comes to the outrights, I'm going to hit a couple different levels. I like Colin on the low part of the board. In the middle, I like Matty Fitz. You know, Joe asked a great question just a minute ago. He said, how do we know that these guys are doing the work? They're putting the work and they're practicing. Well, I love to comb social media and see what these guys are posting. Are they posting from the range or are they posting from the Lakers game? So Fitz is the type of guy. He's definitely buckled down. He had a good fall. He had a win at the Alfred. He was fourth at the Hero. He's definitely one of those guys. And then further down the board, I like Cam Davis at 80-1. Australians have had a lot of great history here. And it's going to go back to your prop question. There's only two Australians there, Jason Day and Cam Davis. And I like Cam Davis as the low Australian. Hey, six Australians have won this thing in the last 20 years. You know what? They're at summertime for them. They're in mid-peak golf season coming in. I like their chances.
Keith, I can't let you go here with a 2024 season about to begin and ask you a question about the Tiger Woods. Prospects for 2024, what are we seeing?
Ooh. You know what? I think in about a month or so, we're going to see him again. We got six healthy rounds in December out of Tiger, four at the Hero, two with his son. Absolutely fantastic. Check in with me a month from now at LA. I'll be there at the Genesis, and I guarantee Tiger will be there too, ready to start his 2024.
There you go, Keith Stewart, our resident PGA Tour expert, getting you primed and ready for a great 2024 PGA season. Keith, thanks again for your time here. We're going to flip it back to some winners and losers next, right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Did we warm you up a little bit in that last segment here, going out to Kapalua in Hawaii to relax, have some fun, and kick off the 2024 PGA Tour? Some good stuff to begin there. We want to thank Keith Stewart for joining us here and having some fun with that. But now it's time to get to some winners and losers. Quite frankly, we probably could have had a yearly winners and losers segment, but that's getting a little too deep and technical because our eye is on the prize here in the NFL. Heading into Week 18, there were a lot of losers this past weekend, but let's start on a happy note, right? Nobody wants to start and say, hey, at the end of the year, boy, how bad was your year? Let me tell you about it. No. What were your good points on the year? So, Joe Ranieri, I'm going to go to you first here. Your winner of the week last week in the NFL, who was that?
It was certainly, I think, the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, who I'm pretty sure just went ahead and locked up his what, second MVP trophy of the season with that performance. Didn't understand the market fading the Ravens at home. But as it turns out, yeah, Miami has got a lot more questions than answers. But I think the Ravens, yeah, they did exactly what they needed to do.
Yeah, winner for me, the same exact thing was the Baltimore Ravens. The biggest matchup of the weekend and the most at stake. You want to talk about it? That would have been probably made him the winner, Joe, if it was 24-19 Ravens in this game. But also, I think when we say the Ravens, we do need slash Lamar Jackson as well. You couldn't have had a bigger weekend for your franchise. Number one, winning a football game against an unbelievable AFC foe that you might see again to sort of set the tone if you do meet again in the playoffs. You're at home on New Year's Eve. What a celebration, Joe, it was going to be if you picked up a victory in that game, let alone a 56-19 win. Lamar Jackson, 18 of 21. Usually that means like, what, 176 yards and a touchdown, really manage the game? No. 321 yards and 5 touchdown passes to go along with it. He was sensational. So the Baltimore Ravens wrapped up the number one seed in the AFC, and Lamar Jackson, a now two-time MVP trophy winner, as we're expecting that to be his trophy once we get to the award season here. But the Ravens, no doubt about it. Let's flip it over here on the opposite side now, Joe, because I got a feeling, you know, we're digging into some of the same things. Let's go to your loser of the week here. Let's start with the top of that food chain here.
Yeah, so sorry, Donnie, but your Eagles have some splaining to do here. There is no way you can be up at the break the way you are, beating the snot out of Arizona, only to watch them come back in the second half. And it's, you know, it's the same things that plague this team here, Donnie. We're scratching our head at the play calling late in games here. The defense can't get a stop. Nobody seems to have any idea what they're doing at the biggest moments in this game. I blame Sirianni. I blame the new coordinators. Matt Patricia, was that your answer for defense? Yeah, no, that's not working either. There are big issues in Philadelphia, and they were on full display for everyone this weekend.
Yeah, my loser of the week by far was the Philadelphia Eagles, and it wasn't even close. In all walks of life, it should be the Philadelphia Eagles, because you're right. This was a dead three-win football team coming across the country on New Year's Eve to play. You had them down 2 touchdowns at the break. That's when your team is supposed to fold up shop, head back to the airport, and go celebrate and hope you're in time for the new year back on the West Coast. And you couldn't stop that team. 15 points in the third quarter, 14 points in the fourth quarter. You needed one stop and couldn't get it. And this is a microcosm of what we've been seeing for the past couple weeks. You actually got that lucky late stop against the Giants. You weren't able to get that stop against the Seattle Seahawks. You got a little bit lucky against the Dallas Cowboys. Same thing with the Buffalo Bills on missing a pass to Gabe Davis in the end zone where the quarterback and the wide receiver weren't on the same page. Otherwise, that would have been a loss. But it all came to shine on that last weekend here in the NFL where the Eagles put of 31 points on offense wasn't good enough. And Joe, the most angry part of this game for me was not the simple fact that the Eagles lost, but they were dominated. How do you have a team like the Cardinals hold a 2-1 edge on you on possession time? That is absolutely outrageous and unbelievable. And the Philadelphia Eagles are going to have the number 2 overall seed now drop down to the 5 seed here. You're going to have to win all of those games on the road. I don't think that's going to happen here in any way, shape, or form. Let's get back to some winners here for you, Joe. Your second winner of the week. Who was that?
So I'm going to turn to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who needed a win in the worst way to turn things around. And to make matters worse, they were going to have to do it without Trevor Lawrence once he was ruled out. Donnie, you want to talk about head-scratching moves? Somebody please tell me who the hell was betting on Carolina throughout the week to continue to move that line towards them. The reality is, quite honestly, that is the defense that I thought we would be getting all season long with Jacksonville. They showed up. They didn't even need a quarterback. You or I could have played quarterback and still won that game there, but they needed a win in the biggest way, and they got that win in the biggest way. Now, hopefully, they can get Trevor Lawrence back and healthy and move on.
Man, the Carolina Panthers. You want to talk about like losers of the year? They're probably near the top of the standings. That was an absolutely uninspiring performance across the board from the Carolina Panthers. For me, number two, it's the Dallas Cowboys here as one of my winners of the week. A big-time performance against the Detroit Lions that did get a little bit of help here from the Detroit Lions, which we'll get to in just a few moments. But the Dallas Cowboys now in pole position and two touchdown favorites on the road against the Washington Commanders to win the NFC East. And maybe we should have saw this coming, where it's apparent that nobody's allowed to win the NFC East in back-to-back years ever again. It hasn't been done since 2004, and it looks like it won't be done again this year. The Eagles were on autopilot here and got crashed on Sunday, pulling up with a horrendous performance against the Arizona Cardinals. So I'm going to go with the Cowboys here as my winners of the week. Let's shift here back to some losers here, Joe Ranieri, on your list. Give me it.
So, without a doubt, the Miami Dolphins as well, just getting absolutely bulldozed here. They had everything in front of them. Pretty simple stuff, right? They had a game on Buffalo. If they would have won this game, would have made things extremely pressure cooker for the Buffalo Bills. But now they end up getting hurt in that game. Tua got hurt. They lose Chubb. It's not going well here for the Miami Dolphins. And now they've got a game for winner take the AFC East. And I don't know that that's a great spot for the Miami Dolphins to be in.
Yeah, I'll go with the loser here. How about this? Those Minnesota Vikings who were in that New Year's Eve party position at home and said, hey, you know what, guys? We're going to go with the young rookie quarterback in here to see if he gives us the best chance here because Nick Mullins, you turn it over too much. Well, it turns out that Nick Mullins was going to get another chance in this game and a 33-10 victory for those Packers here, absolutely dominating the Minnesota Vikings on New Year's. And it looks like that season basically up in flames now. Justin Jefferson could never get on track here. Just a lost cause for those Vikings. Going back to your third winner of the week, Joe, who was that this past weekend?
Well, it has to be the Chicago Bears and Justin Fields. Number one, hell of a game. Number two, you've already signed Matt Eberflus, right? You said he's coming back. Well, guess who else is coming back? Justin Fields better be coming back as well here. Another great performance, getting it done at home, and kudos to them here. I think with they secured the number one pick with Arizona's win. I think things are looking up in Chicago for sure.
There you go. Chicago Bears getting up there with the winner of the week. Eberflus coming back for another shot next year. Who are they going to draft with that number one overall pick? Should be fun to watch for me. My final winner of the week was those Los Angeles Rams. And not just because they got a victory over the Giants due to a late missed field goal by the ancient one, Mason Crosby. The fact of the matter, the true winner of the week is next week, they're not going to have to get the 49ers best punch here. Nobody wants the best punch, and it looks like the Rams are going to be set to make it into the playoffs with some good play and also some good fortune. Same thing we talked about there with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. Not necessarily who you play, but when you actually play them and who needs those football games. Loser, last loser of the week for you, Joe Ranieri. Who was it out there?
Oh, well, it was the team that lost to the Bears there that had everything right in front of them. I mean, absolute disaster beyond disaster for the Atlanta Falcons. And not just because I had an over 8.5 win ticket on them this year here, Donnie. That's actually part of it. But two quarterbacks combining for what? Four interceptions. The defense couldn't stop the run. Your excellent field goal kicker botched two field goals in that game. This was terrible on every level for the Falcons. They had an opportunity here to take advantage, and they didn't. And now, well, guess what? They just opened the door for the Saints and for Tampa to be able to win this division. And bye-bye, Falcons and Arthur Smith. It was fun knowing you.
Yeah, the NFC South certainly giving us a lot of headaches here throughout the season. And another headache, which I guess must-win situation for the New Orleans Saints. They got it. They were up three touchdowns over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers before they finally woke up late in the fourth quarter. There were two lines to me this weekend, Joe, that I said to myself, a little bit head-scratching. The Baltimore Ravens still at a 3 all week long. They absolutely blasted the Dolphins. But I kept looking at this line going, let me get this straight. It was threes, and now it's 2.5 here, where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are at home with a win, clinched their division, going up against the Saints defense you couldn't trust to throw anywhere this football season. And they come away with a double-digit victory down in South Florida. I mean, I was Baker, if you would have told me before the game here, 309 yards and two touchdowns out of Baker Mayfield, I mean, did the Saints even score in this game? Why would they even show up? I couldn't believe every time I checked in on this game that the score was getting better and better for the New Orleans Saints. Now, hear me out. Tampa Bay still can win next week and win the division, but, Joe, what happened? What happened to Tampa Bay Sunday? Playing so well.
Yeah, they got crushed. That was kind of the Baker Mayfield and Tampa Bay Bucks we thought we would be getting over the last month, but they finally showed up that way. Awful.
Incredible. Winners and losers entering into the new year, but you know what's time to get you caught up for? Get your calculators out. A lot of people are available to play on football. Who's making it in? Who's being left out? We'll talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, the playoff picture coming into focus, but is it really? My goodness, so many playoff spots up in the air this weekend, and we're all going to break it down. It's Donnie Wrightside here with Joe Ranieri on the early line, a Tuesday morning edition, post-holiday, but there are no holiday for the weary here because these NFL teams are kicking and screaming to try to get into the playoffs. A fun week overall. We do have some clarity. The Baltimore Ravens, we know, are the number one overall seed. We still have the AFC East up for grabs here between the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills, which that game has been flexed into primetime Sunday night. Absolutely spectacular. But let's start here at the top of the AFC before we work our way down and get in some really some intricacies. The Baltimore Ravens have clinched here, Joe. 13-3, top overall seed in the AFC. They will get the bye week. But after that, a lot of things up for grabs here. The Miami Dolphins, 11-5 on the season. They're going to play the Buffalo Bills. The Kansas City Chiefs clinch the division at 10-6. They'll at least be a top four seed here as we look forward. The Jacksonville Jaguars, still not even guaranteed to get into the playoffs at this point here. Why? Because they have one final game to go, and they only have 9 wins. Those top four teams, two divisions have already been locked up. Two divisions still up in the air. If we start with those first four teams here, Kansas City and the Jaguars come into focus. Who are we more worried about here heading down the stretch in those 3 and 4 seeds between those two teams?
Well, I mean, you have to be Jacksonville, right? Although they showed, you know, finally glimpses of what we thought they were going to be here this week, and it was against the Carolina Panthers, let's not forget. But, you know, listen, you could not possibly expect Jacksonville with how bad they have looked here over the last month. You couldn't help but to be worried about them and saying, is this team as good as we thought they, like, what is going on here with Peterson and company? But they seem to have righted the ship a little bit. I think anytime you're talking about Patrick Mahomes, what's the worry? I obviously there are a lot of warts on this version of the Kansas City Chiefs, but I do think in a single elimination situation like the playoffs, I'd still rather have Mahomes and Andy Reid than anybody else.
And by the way, like, this is fascinating stuff as we break it down there, because again, it's easy to see the top level teams here in Kansas City. Again, you're right. As long as you have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, you got a shot anywhere you go, even if they're not playing their best football. But now it starts to get tricky. The Cleveland Browns have clinched the 5th overall seed. They can't move up. Why? Because the Baltimore Ravens have clinched the AFC North. But if we're looking at an 11-5 team, let's just say they lose their last game. Again, they're still locked into the 5. Now comes the interesting ingredients, because you take a look at Cincinnati is going to line up against them. They're already eliminated, so that game means absolutely nothing for either team. The Buffalo Bills now sit at 10-6. How about this? They're going to play the Miami Dolphins, who sit at 11-5. Should the Buffalo Bills win this game, they will take over the number 2 overall seed, I do believe, here in the conference. Let me see, 6-5, 7-4. Ooh, yep. 10, 11. Actually, I don't think, is that the case here? Oh yes, because they have the tiebreaker for beating the Kansas City Chiefs. Yes, absolutely. And again, this is how convoluted it is, where even though I'm up to date on all this stuff, I still have to double check myself as I talk my way through it. But the Bills, if they beat Miami, they move up there and get that top seed number 2 here. The Miami Dolphins then downshift to the 6th overall seed. Is that what I'm seeing as well due to conference record? Yes, they'll drop. That's unbelievable. So they'll go from the 2 seed to the 6th seed because they couldn't beat the Baltimore Ravens and also the Buffalo Bills. But behind them, The Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans, the winner of that football game, Joe, makes it into the playoffs, which then leaves the Steelers sitting on the outside looking in with 9 wins. Let's just say they get a layup victory over the Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills beat the Miami Dolphins. The 10-win Pittsburgh Steelers will not be going to the playoffs.
Yeah, no, it's a rough shot here, but the Steelers certainly had their opportunities this season to be able to get it done, and unfortunately, they couldn't. But they needed that win against Seattle, and we've seen crazier things happen here. I think everything revolves around the Titans winning this week, right? So Steelers handle business, and I think if the Titans end up winning, that pretty much gives the Steelers an opportunity to be able to get it done. But yeah, that's a big, big if. But you control what you can control if you're the Steelers. All of these teams, really. Control what you can control. Win the game, and then you let it go as to wherever it is, and you're able to sleep at night.
Yeah, you're right about that, because things do have to still play on the field. If you just played it by paper, yep, the Philadelphia Eagles would be rolling through the Arizona Cardinals, but that wasn't the case. Yep. We'll get to the NFC in just a minute, but it's just interesting how this lines up. And I guess there is a way where if the Colts and the Houston Texans end up in a tie and the Pittsburgh Steelers win, they'll jump both of those ball clubs. See how crazy this is heading down here, where technically only 9 teams are in that playoff hunt for the 7 spots with a couple already clinched up. But the Pittsburgh Steelers probably going to finish with 10 wins as it looks right now and possibly be left out. But also, you take a look at the Buffalo Bills. Like, the Bills might be the hottest team in the AFC. They lose and go to 10-7 at this point. You're then going to get jumped by the Pittsburgh Steelers. So the Bills-Dolphins game is maybe the biggest. Like, you're either saying the Buffalo Bills, I could be the number 2 seed or out of the playoffs completely if we lose this game. It's incredible to watch it play out. Now, the AFC odds here to win the AFC, I agree with them here. It's the Baltimore Ravens and everybody else. That massive victory over the Miami Dolphins, coupled now with home field advantage throughout and your team playing so, so well, I agree at the plus 135 point here. Follow behind them, the Chiefs at a plus 420 price, the Buffalo Bills at a plus 430, the Dolphins 6-1, and so on here. If we remove the Ravens, Joe, out of the equation, who is going to get the money for you in the AFC with a legitimate chance to go into the Super Bowl?
Yeah, no, so it's tough. I would say the Bills. You know, if they are able to, you know, beat Miami, which they have done an amazing job of over the last couple of years. They have obviously kind of owned the Dolphins here in this situation. But if they win convincingly against Miami. They are really the team that I think becomes a serious problem, because as the number 2 seed, they're guaranteed at least what? At Orchard Park. One game, right? They're going to get a home playoff game, and I don't know how many teams. And that's kind of what they've been looking for all these years, right? They just want to play a playoff game where they don't have to go to Arrowhead. They don't have to go on a road somewhere. It has to come through Orchard Park. And by beating the Dolphins, that's exactly what is going to happen there.
Yeah, good stuff here in the AFC, winding down. A lot of options still up in the air. And again, the Sunday Night Football flex is going to be tremendous between the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins, which again might lead to the loser of that football game, if it is the Buffalo Bills, out of the playoffs altogether, which is outrageous. Let's talk about some NFC actions. Crazy. Clinching the top seed here, and we'll have home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs. That's the San Francisco 49ers, based on their win over the Washington Commanders and the Philadelphia Eagles, dropping their football game against the lowly Arizona Cardinals, which then parlays the Dallas Cowboys now from the 5th seed into the 2 seed here, followed by the Detroit Lions. And then we're probably going to have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that 4 seed. What do you have to do? Beat the Carolina Panthers in order to win the division? That's probably going to take place, which leaves 5, 6, and 7 right now. Eagles, Rams, and Packers. Now, the Eagles probably going to factor into that 5 seed and, let's just say, play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But one of those teams, again, that we just talked about, those Rams that are now in the – actually, you know what? The Rams, as I'm finding out right now, also have clinched a playoff spot. So they'll probably be resting their players going up against this weekend. So we'll take them out of the equation. 7 and 8 here. Packers and the Seahawks. The Green Bay Packers get the tiebreaker over the Seahawks based on strength of victory here. So some things still up for grabs, which includes the Minnesota Vikings, who look like they're dead and buried. Still a mathematical chance to get in the playoffs here.
Yeah, you just need a lot of help, right? I mean, but that was a huge win for the Packers over the Vikings, right? So now all they truly control their destiny, which is ultimately what you would hope for, right? If you beat the Bears, you're in. That's it. It's that simple, right? You don't need help from anybody else. So Green Bay is in the best spot simply because they handled business on the road on, New Year's Eve there. It was a great team win. It's the best they've looked in a long, long time. And now all they have to do is beat this feisty Bears team, and they are in. You don't require anybody else's help. That is what you want heading into week 18. The Packers, as bad as they have looked at times, did just that.
Yes, and if we take a look at that NFC playoff picture here, the 49ers favorites here with the number one seed at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a minus 120 price. You take a look at the Cowboys plus 380, the Eagles plus 550, and the Lions plus 850. So before I ask you the question, I'm like, hey, outside of the 49ers, who's going to get your money? Let's line it up on what we think is going to happen. Obviously, the 49ers have the bye week. They'll be removed from wild card weekend. But as it stands right now, the seventh seed will be the Green Bay Packers. So that will be the Dallas Cowboys and the Green Bay Packers live from Jerry World. But here's the interesting one. The Detroit Lions sit in that three seed right now, followed, looks like they're going to be playing the Los Angeles Rams. Now, here's the crazy part about this, too, is the Rams are one of those teams where most people are looking and saying, well, you know what, they were dead and buried, Joe, midway through the season, playing some of their best football. Mm-hmm. They're going to get a de facto bye week this weekend before they go in and take the Detroit Lions. The Eagles look like they're lined up against the Buccaneers. So for me, the short stick here might be the Lions having to take on the Rams, and the Rams not needing this game to beat the 49ers and can rest upon it. As looking at these playoffs, the 49ers again removed. Who is getting your money here, Joe, in this?
Oh, it's a kind of a toss-up, right? I don't. The 49ers have shown us an ability to to be beat, quite honestly, right? So the question is, who do we trust enough from what we have seen in the NFC? If it's not them, if something goes out, as crazy as this is, it's the Rams. It's the only other team in there that I think is playing its best football at the end of the season, which is usually good enough to be able to propel a team to get an upset. They're money makers, those teams, because usually they're undervalued. You can make some money backing them as a dog in the playoffs. And the Rams seem they fit all those boxes and check all of them here, Donnie. I think the Rams are maybe the most undervalued team right now outside of the 49ers if you want to go to the chalk. But I think the Rams are the team we have to focus on.
Yeah, you take a look at the way the odds are setting out, because you have a massive price there on the Los Angeles Rams at that 25-1 number to the NFC. And then you have the Lions at plus 850. Like, the nice thought process behind that would be is if you just took a little bit of a piece of the Lions and also the Rams at those two numbers, if they match up in game number one in the playoffs, at least one of those teams is going to move on at a really solid price. And then you sort of roll the dice from here on out. You know, sneak in the Buccaneers 48-1. Nobody expecting much of those. And also for most of the year, I was talking about the Dallas Cowboys saying, like, hey, maybe they don't want the number two seed because you get to go play the Buccaneers here, probably pick up that victory, and then try to roll the dice in round number two. Now that's going to be the Philadelphia Eagles. And normally I'd say, like, yeah, that's a great spot for the Eagles. They're playing terrible football as we come down the stretch. Yeah. So there's no guarantee that the Eagles will even go in and beat Tampa Bay in their own building. But a lot of stuff is going to factor out. You still want to see if the Saints and or the Vikings can sneak their way into the playoffs. Same thing with the Seattle Seahawks, but they're priced appropriately here. The Seahawks, 100-1 to win the NFC. Yeah. You take a look at the Saints, 100-1 to win the NFC. So I don't think that's going to happen here. Is it so easy? No, let me ask you this too. Are we worried at all about McCaffrey's calf injury?
Well, you have to be, because, you know, that is, San Francisco is a great team when all the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle are on the field, right? So that includes Debo, that includes Purdy, and that includes Christian McCaffrey, who, ironically enough, ever since the trade, he hasn't missed a whole lot of time with the 49ers, isn't he? This is a guy that was injury prone there for a bunch of years with Carolina, but now all of a sudden he comes to the 49ers and he's on the field. They need him. Without McCaffrey, that's an issue, I think, for the 49ers.
It is. That's something to keep an eye on, because that's one of those injuries that can pop up at any time. And I would have loved to have seen what would have happened with San Francisco this weekend if they still needed to clinch that number one overall seed and he had to play in that game. We're going to go fade the public style next, right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick little segment here before we head into hour number three right here on the early line for January 2nd, 2024. It is a new year here, but still the same poll we put out each and every day we go live on the early line, fading the public. And the question is what your answer will be, Joe Ranieri. Let's set the table for this one. What was your favorite game from this weekend? Was it the Cowboys and Lions? Was it Michigan and Alabama, Washington and Texas, or other? If we take a look at the voting right now, Joe, Cowboys and Lions, 19%. Michigan, Alabama, 47%. Washington, Texas, 27%. Or other, now just changed to 5.7%. Fading the public here, but before we get to that, who would you vote for here, Joe, in this poll?
Yeah, well, I'd vote for that picture of Ben Stevens because that might just be my favorite thing to start 2024 on that graphic. Yeah, that is fantastic, Ben. I love the whole, I don't know if that's a pinky thing they got going on here. I will say this, there are two dogs as an option on that list. I had them both, Detroit and Washington there. And I think Washington getting it done against Texas was probably my favorite moment of the weekend because it turned out to be maybe one of the greatest college games we've had all year.
Now, was Ben actually throwing a punch in that, or was that like, hey, hang 10, I'm from the West Coast, you know? I mean, What would your take? What would your fade the public on that one be? Is that a punch, or is that I'm hanging 10 about to hit the surf?
That's a Ben Stevens punch, I think. We can just classify it as a Ben Stevens jab, where he actually might have hit himself on the return. Yeah, so you're good.
By the way, BSS and the crew last night out late in Homedale, New Jersey, perusing around, watching some college football, hanging out with the people on college football today. It was certainly a good show. So Ben getting a much-needed break this morning. As Joe and Donnie hold down the fort with hour number three coming up. But we will talk about what your favorite game of the weekend was. And by the way, I didn't vote for Michigan and Alabama. I didn't vote for Washington or Texas. I voted for Cowboys and Lions, and find out why it was supposed to be a joyous occasion. Hour number three coming up right here on the Sports Grid Network.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.